I'd like to ask you a whole bunch of questions. But one of the most essential questions that we all may have is there really God or Creator? And next question could be, what am I then? And next question comes into, what should I do? We all want to have good life, meaningful life, I believe happy life too. And the reason I believe religion happens and this gathering happens, meditation happens, is that throughout our history we have all learned that somehow taking care of all the needs do not make us fulfilled and or happy. We think we are happy when we have enough food, enough clothing to wear, a house to live. Then you realize after you have them, it's done then. When it's somehow, funny thing about these material things is that when you don't have it, you really want to have them. But when you have them, then it's over suddenly. And does not give you any more satisfaction. So as far back as ancient Sumerian thinkers, who lived about 5,000, 6,000 years ago, to these days scientists or atheists, it doesn't in a way matter who it is. But we all acknowledge that we as a human, we have need that is beyond material. And we are all looking for ways to find that so that we can fulfill that. And religion calls this being who we connect as God. And today's reading and the reading before this one, chapter 3, the God of Moses shows up in a burning bush out of blue. And life of Moses, if you have a time, take a look into it. It's very fascinating. This is a guy who was born in the time when the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, decreed that all male Hebrew child should be dead. By the time he's born, that was decreed. But he survived because of the two mothers, one who'd never give it up, even facing impossibility. That's his biological mother. The other, so compassionate and kind, even to save a Hebrew male child, Egyptian princess. So he grew up as a prince of Egypt for 40 years. Then he killed an Egyptian over a Hebrew slave. So he ran away. And he lived as a runaway in a foreign land. He got married. He's about 79 years old. He's taking care of the flock of his father-in-law, who was Midianite priest. He's 79 years old when he's in the mountain, and suddenly there's a bush that is burning but not consumed. So obviously it's not a fire that we see as fire. It's a different kind of fire. That's when he's cold. I believe he was very happy and glad until that moment. Wow, in the mountain of God, I'm meeting God. My life means something here. I mean something. At 79, finally. Then mission came to me. Says, by the way, you need to go back to Egypt and save all your people. You have to confront the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the most powerful man probably in the whole world at the time. And I'll give you a step. And my blessing. You need to confront it. So to that, what did Moses say? No. 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 Please no. Right? Four times of no's. But this God, the God Moses encountered, do you see this God as like overwhelming parent father? No. See, this is the God, the foundational image and concept and character of God, who actually laid the foundation of the whole religion. And this is the God. So, my question to you is, where are you seeking the meaning for your life? What are you trying to find? Are you trying to find it in outside? Are you trying to find it inside? And more important question is, how would you know when you find it? How would you know? And for that, I don't have an answer. But that's something that I want you to reflect upon. I'll ask another odd question. How many of you know how to bowl? Bowling. Have you done it? Are you good at it? Over 100? 200? Something like that? I'm a bowler. And I started bowling when I was 18. And in 2 years, my average is about 225. So I was actually preparing myself to go for the first Korean professional competition. And my mother booked the airplane 10 days prior to that day, so I'm here. If my mother did not book the airplane before that day, I might not have come to U.S. Interesting, isn't it? So I, after married and you know, children, I was not able to bowl about 15, 12 years. I just joined the league, and the reason I'm trying to say this is that there's something about having faith and being a pastor and trying to share my experience with God and how to teach somebody how to bowl. Because I can tell you exactly how to do perfect bowling, which, by the way, I cannot do. But you have to learn everything by your own practice. And you will end up getting a style and a form and even the style of bowl that is uniquely fitting you that I have no idea how to predict in the beginning. To me, this is really similar to what I do as my profession or my life, my calling. God, I talk to God every day. If you ask me if I see God, I have to say I see God every day too. And the experience of God is sometimes more real than my wife and children. So it's overwhelming sometimes. That sometimes makes me mystic, some people say. But that doesn't mean I have a supernatural power to read your mind or can heal you or cure you. I don't have any of these. I just have inner certainty that my God is real and with me all the time. Now, I know how to get there, but I don't know how to make you to get there. Does it make sense? Just like bowling to me. I know exactly how to do to get 300 each time. 300 is the perfect score in bowling. But I cannot do that. So, knowing and being able to do, knowing, being able to live, is not the same thing. And only so much score that I actually get to get, that's the real thing. Even if I know the whole potential to get it 300 score every time, that's not real. It's never real, actually. I have never done 300 yet. So I never get it perfect yet. God is real. Unreal. God is experiential, not. I don't know for you. I only know it for me. So, like Jesus' question to Peter, it doesn't matter what other people think about Jesus. It is what matters when what Peter thinks about. It doesn't matter actually what I tell you what God is. To be radical even, it doesn't even matter what Bible tells you what God is. What matters to you is, what do you think is your God? What do you really believe in your heart, in your foundations? What do you really experience there? What do you see as the essence, the core that makes who you are? That matters. The rest of it is about other people's experiences and other people's wishful thinking. There's a theology, there's description, dogmas. As I was saying, I can tell you exactly perfect way to get score 300 in bowling every time. But can you really do it? I don't think so. Don't think so. There is this kind of ideal way of believing God. There's this ideal way of doing things, being a faithful person. And that's not yours. And I just wanted to bring it out to you. Kind of a little comparison bowling, that is. So, what do you call? I don't know. Your creator? Jesus? Your God? Or not, even. Then why not? What matters to you personally matters. So, that's my second reflection, and I like to ask you to reflect upon it with the gongs. So I put the gong right here, and I'm intending to sound the gong about every 30 seconds, and I'll give you about 4 minutes of this reflection of the gong. So I ask you to close your eyes. So, since I'm using the bowling as today's example, one odd thing I've been finding, I'm trying to go back to my old average, which I was having when I was 21. I'm 45. You know, it doesn't work. Because what I was able to do when I was 21, I'm not 21 anymore. My body, my mind, it's just not there. So I have to find a new way to do it. And interesting thing is, I have to make every single mistake there is to make as a bowler to find a new way. Yet, when I do a perfect, one, I don't remember what I did. Really. Because it all happened so naturally, like flowing, so I don't even feel the weight of the ball in my hand. And I got a perfect line and curve and all pins blowing up, perfect shot, and what did I do? I have no clue.
That happens sometimes with
cooking. Cooking too, yes.
All the time.
It applies, I believe, to everything that we do. Sometimes we deliver the best result when we are not there. When I am not there somehow. And the rest is just working in a perfect way. It's so stunning and sometimes so sad. Why does it require my absence to make it work perfect? Why not I am there and enjoy it? And actually, you know what my answer is? I know too. When I am there, I try to make it even better. So either I push it a little hard or pull it a little hard, and then that breaks the rhythm. It is so stunning and sad at the same time. To make the perfect thing that I wish and dream to have, I need to be absent.
Get out of the way.
Yet, to get there, I has to be there and try every single way, need to make every single mistake you can think about. That's my bowling practice. So sometimes I don't really feel I'm doing it right. I just throw it every single way that is possible. Gutter bowls, everything. And then suddenly it feels coming back, and I do a good, really one, and I don't remember what I did. But when I'm not paying attention to it, I can do it like 4 or 5 times, and suddenly I'm realizing, oh wow, I have 5 strikes in a row. Okay, I need to make this one. Then the rhythm's gone. I believe it applies to many things, but especially walking, living with God too. We make all kind of mistakes. We touch everything. We argue all the way. Yet, when we are fully with God, the moment is so light, so gentle, so delightful. It passes like a single second, and we don't know how we got there. Or what happened, but we feel good. So, I have last one as silent meditation or deep prayer or breathing meditation. It's your choice. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Either you just want to reflect upon in silence or pray or breathing meditation. Breathing meditation is the basic meditation I do, and I recommend any of you who are struggling with other method. It's very simple. You can breathe, you can close your eyes, you can do it. Oh, you need to be able to count too. But you don't need to be able to count more than 10. So in a way of saying, 4 years old can do it. So you breathe in, breathe out, that's one. And you count 1 to 10, and you do it 3 times. So 1 to 10, we call it big 1, big 2, big 3. To make it more interesting, simple rules like you don't do 11, 12, 21, 22. you always do 1 to 10, 1 to 10, 1 to 10. If you get lost for God, you're counting, you go back to the 0. So see, it's designed to make you to fail in a way. It's not important about if you're succeeding or not. That's the breathing. So in this breathing, second rule is you open your chest, back straight, so that your air goes all the way in and comes all the way out. So you want to do slightly gentle, deeper breathing than your normal breathing. But again, you don't control it, you don't push it, you don't pull it. You know what happens, right? You push it, pull it, you'll be choking or you'll be coughing. It happens. So just gently, a little bit deeper than your usual, and then let out. So I'm giving you 5 minutes to complete deep three. Again, or you can simply do silent meditation, if that's more comfortable, or prayer. We'll begin with the gong and end with the gong. May the blessing and presence that happened here today because of our shared interest, desire, longing, and seeking of peace and wisdom and love be upon us all from now on forevermore.